Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
He is the voice of the Cleveland Browns, one of the very best to ever do it. His name is Jim Donovan. He joins us here live in Berea. Jim, thanks for giving us a few minutes.
My pleasure. Good to be with you guys.
Well, you got 1 week down with the new crew. How did it go?
I think it went really well. Yeah, we had a good time down there. We were down there forever in Jacksonville. I mean, we went down on Wednesday. I've never done that before a preseason game. I mean, you know, if you're going to the Super Bowl and you go early, I get it. But if you're going to the preseason game number one and you're in Jacksonville, I don't get it. But it was good. I think it really went well. And we all had a good time down there and got a lot. I don't even think there were a lot of bugs to get out. So we'll build a little bit more to game two coming up and certainly be ready by the time we go to Carolina.
Yeah, I asked Spano. I said, he's got there on Wednesday. He's like, yeah, entirely too long there. And,
he goes,
nobody vacations in Florida in August. And I'm like, yeah, with reason, I guess.
Have to tell you, by the looks of downtown Jacksonville, not many people live there.
Did you golf? Too hot to golf?
You know what I did? I'm going to tell you. If you want to ask me about any team that is now in Williamsport at the Little League World Series, I can give you a complete scouting report on all of our regional champions because they were on all day long. You know, I mean, it was amazing. So the team from Iowa. They look good.
That's great.
That was a good roster from Iowa. Did you see the kid? I think it was from Wyoming. I don't know. But he had, instead of having batting gloves on, he had the gloves that you would, like take hay bales with and like
wow.
He's on the farm.
I mean, yeah.
And then he crushed
about
it.
This.
And he crushed like a 300-foot dinger.
Yeah. Well, we have a farm, so maybe I should have taken a look at those gloves.
Yeah. might have worked.
Because I'm throwing a lot of hay there. I need nice gloves.
Man. So we were talking before we got on here about like your broadcasting influence. We'll get more on the Browns. I'm just fascinated by this stuff because I think you're so talented. I think you're so great.
Well, thank you.
And when you do a game, do you think like, let me put it this way. Sports radio host, I have a bunch of different influences and different people that I take from. I never wanted to be a play-by-play guy. I never had that in me. I've always wanted to be sports radio. But did you growing up, like, who was the guy that you, even when you do games back, you're like, maybe there's a little bit of me here, or is that just not a thing for you?
No. I grew up in Boston, and every team there had an amazing announcer, amazing play-by-play guy. And I always thought that I was going to be a hockey guy. Boston being a big hockey town. So the Bruins had great, great announcers. They had two great radio announcers during my time there. Fred Cusick, who did radio and then moved to TV. And this was during the Bobby Orr, Phil Esposito, Jerry Cheevers, a couple of Stanley Cups. Just the big bad Bruins. I mean, it was amazing.
Then
the Celtics had Johnny Most, who was a character, the gravelly-voiced announcer for the Celtics, famous for Havlicek stole the ball. The Patriots had a great announcer. And if I kind of took a lot from somebody, it was this guy, Gil Santos, who did the Patriots for 37 years. And just recently retired and unfortunately passed away. And I used to listen to him because at that time the Patriots never sold out. They were never even close to selling out, okay?
Yeah.
They couldn't give tickets away. So you listen to the game on Sunday afternoon. This is when Jim Plunkett was playing for the Patriots, and this guy was just amazing. And I used to send tapes to him and the other announcers in Boston.
Oh, that's awesome.
My play-by-play and say, hey, can you give me a tip here, a tip there? And the most exciting day would be when I'd get that envelope back in the mail with WBZ Radio, 1030, Westinghouse Broadcasting up in the left corner. And I would go, oh, my God. I wouldn't even read the letter. I was so excited about the envelope. But they would give me tips, and I have to tell you, those guys were great. But then as I went along, I found Marv Albert.
Nice.
Okay, which was tough for someone from Boston because everybody hated the New York teams, the Knicks, the Rangers, the Yankees. And Marv was doing the Knicks and the Rangers at the same time on radio.
That's crazy.
Which was crazy. You're absolutely right. But I would listen to him and you know, I developed a fantastic imitation of Marv,
That's really good.
I thought that I took too much of that at one point in my career, and my dad, God bless him, said to me, you know, you do a great Marv Albert imitation. When are we going to hear you?
Wow.
And I kind of went, yeah, you're right.
It's a thing only a dad could say,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, only a dad could say
that,
right.
That's great. Well, and doing an impression of Marv Albert would have taken you very far in its own right, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, here's something I don't know if Jonathan knows or not. You went to college with Howard Stern. We talked about that before.
I did.
He worked at the college radio station at Boston University.
WWT.
All right, so I love Private Parts. I think that movie is great. WNBC. But like before we got there, right, the early years of Howard was Howard, admittingly, just not being great at radio. Like, did you get that vibe, or when you were there in college, was it like, no, it's this guy Howard Stern. We all know he's going to be great.
Well, the station was WTBU at Boston University, and it was done out of a dormitory. That's where the control room was. The studios were at the Miles Standish dormitory, which was right down the street from Fenway Park. And I meet this guy, Howard Stern, and I get the BU hockey job, which was big at BU. BU was a national power in hockey. And the games were on Saturday nights, typically. And I would do the hockey game, and I would come back to bring the equipment back to the studio and became a participant on the Howard Stern Show, which was the King Schmaltz Bagel Hour. And I was part of these skits with him, and I became really great friends with him. Now, he was a senior, and I was a freshman, so I was only with him for 1 year. And I had just had the greatest time with him. I mean, there was at the School of Public Communication at BU, there was a lounge before you went to a class that everybody would hang out in before they went to class. And I would sit there and laugh with him. I mean, we had a great time. And he would write parts for me and say, hey, when are you coming back from the hockey game? Oh, I should be back by 10 o'clock. All right, hurry back. And we would do this skit together, and it was really great. Then I lost touch with him, and all of a sudden another friend of mine, Doug Brown, who's on ESPN radio, Doug Brown, who used to do the hockey games with me, called me one time and said, hey, have you heard Howard Stern? And I go, no, where is he? He goes, he's at WNBC. Now, I was up in Burlington, Vermont at the time doing radio, but WNBC would boom in to Burlington, Vermont with its signal.
Oh, yeah.
And I started listening to him, and I went, oh, my God. He was not to that level when he was at BU. So he picked up some expertise. But, yeah, we had a great time together for 1 year.
That's so cool. I love everything about that. All right, now we have to talk Browns a little bit here because I could talk broadcasting with you all day long. You do like you know, the master classes they have online. I want to do a master class with Jim Donovan in broadcasting. That would be such a treat for me. Deshaun Watson, with playing, he didn't play that many snaps. We all know that. We get that. Do you think he's going to play at all in the second preseason game or third preseason game, or would you play him? We'll put it that way.
I think you could see him. Yeah, if we go on the way we are right now, and there's still no decision, or if there's a decision and it's not a year-long indefinite suspension, yeah, I think you could see him play again. And I think they would like to play him after what happened last Friday night, and probably like to play him at home too, you know, and maybe get a little bit more of a positive reaction. I think they would gauge that it would be much more positive than it was down in Jacksonville. That would not be a long walk to get it to be more positive than that. But, yeah, I do, because then I think at some point you have to cut bait there, and you really have to commit to getting Brissett ready. And I think that would happen for the Bears game and certainly for those 11 days before they get ready for Carolina.
Is it a shift in philosophy for Kevin to be playing these guys in the preseason? Obviously, they didn't really do that a whole lot last year. If you're going to play Deshaun, you have to play your starting offensive line, do you not?
You do,
And we just saw what happened with Nick Harris in that opener. So it just feels like it's so much more than just playing the quarterback. You have to play so many other guys, and you're exposing so many other guys to injury risk.
Yeah, I think so, Jason. I really do, and I think there's a new way of doing things. It's a copycat league in every form, right? The way you play defense, offense, and the way you coach and the way you handle training camp. There are many more now of these, you know, joint practices that they really consider so much more valuable and effective than the games. They really do.
Yeah.
So what happens out here on Thursday and Friday, likewise what happened a summer ago when the Giants came in, they felt they got their best work and we're ready to go by the start of the season with what happened in those 2 days, than playing them against the Giants or this week against the Eagles. But you're right about that. You just can't put him in, or if you played Brissett on Sunday, you just can't put him in. I mean, you're probably going to have to at some point. You're going to have to play Betonio. You're going to have to play Teller. You know, you're going to have to probably play Wills, things like that. And I know the center spot is pretty fluid. So there does come a price that you pay and risk when you have to do that.
You mentioned the center spot. You think J.C. Tretter is a reunion in the works, or do you feel like we're maybe not going to go down that road again?
Well, I tell you, I think there's a different point of view here that maybe people aren't tapping into a little bit more. I don't think it's the NFLPA thing. I think it was his play last year. I think late in the season, I want to go back, all right, because it's a picture in my mind that I can't get rid of. They need 3 yards to beat the Raiders on that Thursday night. They are second and three, third and three. Two downs. They have Nick Chubb in the backfield. Tretter gets blown up on both plays by Jonathan Hankins. They don't get the first down. They give up the ball. Right? And, you know, the Raiders go down and end up hitting the field goal and beating them. And that really was when the playoffs became, you know, not a good possibility for them. So I think it was more his play that maybe keeps them from going back. You know, he didn't practice a lot, sometimes because of injury and, you know, the veteran situation. He kind of took the Joe Thomas path, I think, in the last couple of years. He did heroically 1 year play on that high ankle sprain. But I do believe they were wanting to get Nick Harris in there. They were excited when they got him in there on Christmas Day against Green Bay and what they were able to do. And they looked forward to having him play. That won't happen this year now. But I'm not leaning on the side of, well, he was with the NFL. He is the NFLPA president. It's a problem. He was a problem coming in here and preaching to players, don't take part in the offseason conditioning program, that kind of thing.
What is the level of fatigue right now? With just Deshaun, we talked to the open.
Oh, I think it's
we're halfway through camp and they don't know who their quarterback is.
Yeah, and that's a real problem. It really is, and I think it's a problem for the guys on the team. And I think you saw a little bit of it Friday night. I do. I think you saw a little bit of it, and I think they have to get used to the reaction they're going to get when he does play.
Yes.
Okay, this is all new to them. You know, they were lovable losers for so many years, and now they're hated, and by association, not because of what they did or what their belief is or anything like that. I think that, but for this coaching staff, to have to go into this every day and say, okay, how many reps do we give him, and who do we give those reps? With him, who's with him when we give him those reps? I think it really is tedious. I really believe, Jason, I mean, we looked at target dates the Friday before Memorial Day, the Friday before July 4th, the Tuesday before they came to training camp with them opening up on Wednesday. All of those days were, okay, this is the time. This would be the perfect time to get a decision in this thing. I think it really is taxing to them, and I think it really has become, well, I said this the other day, I think it's become cruel that they are locked into this right now. Now, I know they put themselves in it. They're the ones that made the deal. But it's cruel how long it's going on and how it's affecting the team, not just him. You're punishing the team, too.
Well, would you end up giving Stefanski a pass for this year?
No, I don't think so, because I think they're too good a team. I really do. I think they're really talented.
2-53, one of the best in the NFL.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I think that really, yeah, that's a good way to put it. But number one's a big one. Right? But you're right. But I look at that roster. You know, his first year, he carved out a different way to win early in the year, which I thought was masterful. I mean, he had no offseason program. He had no preseason games. And they went in. He found a way to win. The way to win was Chubb, Hunt, that offensive line, and really control Mayfield. I mean, he was only throwing an average of 18, 19 throws a game, okay? Then it kind of exploded the second half of the season, and that was fine. He's going to have to do that, I think, Jonathan. He's really going to have to find a different avenue to win. But there are avenues out there. Like, his defense this year is going to be much better than the defense they won with and played with into the playoffs that year. And certainly, I think, better than, I would say, the first 8 games of last season. Because by the back half of last year, I thought that was a really good defense. That was a playoff-caliber defense. The unfortunate thing is that offense didn't score.
Yeah, without question.
We have a couple more weeks, but I have you now, so I have to ask you, what do you think the reaction is going to be, Carolina week 1, Baker against the Browns? just the whole environment, how he's going to approach this, how they're going to approach this?
Well, the pressure on the game is going to be amazing for Kevin Stefanski, coaching staff, team. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Okay, just amazing to win that game. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a franchise that hasn't won an opening day game since, I think it was 2004 with Jeff Garcia at quarterback against Baltimore. Jeff Garcia, okay? So the losing streak on opening day is really nothing compared to if Baker Mayfield's the starting quarterback, and all indications are that he probably will be. I would not want to be around Monday if they lose that game Sunday in that building that we are just 100 yards away from. I really wouldn't, because I think the pressure on that game is going to be amazing. Yeah. I mean, there have been some big games where you say you got to beat Pittsburgh. All right, you got to beat Baltimore. They have to win this game, not only to launch their season, but just all the storylines that just really strangle the game.
The great Jim Donovan. We appreciate you giving us a few minutes. And
I had a great time. Good to talk to you.
It was so good to talk to you, and we'll be listening all season long. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.